This morning we're going to study Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verses 12 through 18. Let's hear God's word. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy within. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Let's pray. Father, it is your own word, so magnify the beauty of your word and also manifest your Son to us. And let us feel the presence of the Spirit of Christ as well. Let us meet with you at a personal level, and let us rejoice in your salvation together. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. If you have heard of this word, ecclesiology, it is a word that refers to a study or the study of church. Is about church government or church sacrament and all those things. But Ecclesiastes, doesn't it sound similar? Ecclesiastes and ecclesiology, they sound similar because they have the same root. So Ecclesiastes means or refers to someone who gathers God's people and teaches God's word to them. So that's why in our book letter here, the word here is translated as preacher. So the preacher here, I believe that is Solomon, is giving us God's word. So let's remember that it is the very word of God written here, preached here this morning. As we learn or study this book, we're going to be able to understand, we have a little baby. I'm sorry. We're going to be able to understand, realize how short, fleeting, and evasive and elusive our life is, right? We're going to interpret, understand our life from God's perspective. And also, it doesn't end there. It leads us to see our need to be rescued, saved from this, I can say sad life in a sense. If you remember, I used this metaphor when you were younger. Maybe you are still doing it. I don't know. You make these bubbles, right? Dish soap, made out of dish soap. And you make a lot of bubbles in the air. Beautiful, right? And no matter how many bubbles you can make, what happened? They're going to disappear. No matter how beautiful they are, the minute you touch them or try to catch the bubbles in the air, what's going to happen? They just burst, like they are gone. Just like that. Our life is just like that. Vaporous. Or it's like a vapor. That's what our life is like. And as we realize how elusive, how uncontrollable, how short, how fleeting, how transient our life is, we see this. Wait a minute. Something is not right. It's not supposed to be this way. I have this insatiable desire, longing to figure out how I can satisfy myself or how I can find something that can satisfy me continually, unceasingly. How can I do that? The answer is God can do that. Apart from God, yes, our life is so sad, gloomy. However, with God, everything changes. With Christ, our life can begin to have true meaning, true significance. Verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I apply my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. Let me stop there first. So Solomon, I do believe it was his memoir in his late life. He repented now finally from his own sinful life. So now he's saying, yes, when I was younger, I wanted to gain lots of knowledge. I wanted to study medical knowledge or engineering skills or philosophy, sociology. I'm not sure if they had those kind of terminology, but he wanted to study a lot. He wanted to become more knowledgeable, like smarter. He wanted to acquire as much knowledge as possible. That was his kind of desire. He had that kind of desire. He just filled up all the knowledge in him. And obviously, in the 21st century time, it's not the quite, because for us, we don't try to study, like try to memorize this way, right? We have what? Google. We have online. So you just kind of search, right? If you are older than me, I think all of you except a couple, I don't know, are younger than me. You remember the phone like this? Like this? When I was really like young, we used that kind of phone. And then we switched to a kind of regular phone that has a voice message, that kind of answering machine. That was innovation. And then when I was in high school, finally, a cell phone became popular. Since that time, I think my memory skill went down a lot. Up until that time, I had to memorize people's addresses, phone numbers, even like directions, all the important like birthdays or set, whatever. All those things had to be in my mind quite often, right? A lot of people even carried notebook to remember those days, right? But not anymore. Not anymore. We have a phone. So sadly, Solomon didn't have a phone, smartphone. So he had to memorize a lot of those things in his time. He had to connect the dots from those knowledge that he gained. He had to digest how to make sense out of those things. Interestingly, the more he became knowledgeable, the smarter he became. He thought he would become more satisfied. He thought maybe he could be more enjoy his life more. But let me read the next phrase here. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Let me read them again. So the pursuing those knowledge, trying to memorize as much knowledge as possible, those things are God-given business, but it's not really joyful business. It's an unhappy business. Isn't it interesting? If I tweak a little bit, let me read maybe chapter 3, verse 11. It will shed some light upon our passage. Chapter 7, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful. So God has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. And then let me stop there, and I will explain sometime in the future, hopefully. So, made in God's image, we cannot help but pursue, want to know what is out there that can satisfy us. We have this kind of eternity in our heart. It must be dealt with. There are so many questions that we have. We know our life is not supposed to be this way because God made us in his own image. And according to his design, we want to know how we can save ourselves, how we can find ultimate happiness in this life. There are two movies that I really like. I'll go very fast. One, Dead Poets Society. The main character was Robin Williams, remember? And the James Bond series, the action movie, the main character was Matt Damon, right? Robin Williamson, Matt Damon, film together called Good Will Hunting, if you remember. That's another my favorite movie. Good Will Hunting, Matt Damon was the main character. He's about 20-year-old, a young man. He was deserted, abandoned by his parents. So he grew up without having parents, and he was moved around foster care here and there. And he became rebellious, defiant, and he's always angry, rude to any authority. His job is cleaning the school, more specifically MIT. He is a janitor at MIT. One day, a math professor wrote a very difficult math problem on a chalkboard in the hallway. No one can solve the problem. And the professor knows that no one can solve it even. But Matt Damon, you know, solves the problem. It turns out that he was a genius. Also, it has turned out that he has studied a lot, just like Solomon. Matt Damon, in that movie, was 21st century Solomon. He studied history, he studied medicine, he studied law on his own. So he's an expert in every area. But to make a long story short, he was a troublemaker. So by the court law, he has to visit a counselor, psychologist, for, I don't know, 6 months. I don't remember exactly. So every week he visits this psychologist. And the psychologist wants to teach him this way. You got to figure out the meaning of your life. You should not be afraid of being loved by someone. You shouldn't be afraid of loving others either. You should be able to trust someone. And also you should be able to build up your own happiness. Why are you so afraid of building up your own small little tiny kingdom per se? When he said something like that, finally Matt Damon became a different person. He said, finally, yes, now I know what I'm for in this world. I am supposed to pursue my own happiness in this life. I'm supposed to pursue the meaning, significance of my life on my own. And, okay, I thought it was really well made. Number one, apart from God's revelation, that's the degree that the unbelievers can reach, right? They all know. They're made to pursue something, right? So some significance of their own life, meaning of life. The ironically, he decided to find his happiness in finding his girlfriend. That's the end, the last scene of the movie. I thought that was very ironic, funny. But we know this, that shouldn't be that way. We can find on our happiness where? In God. Right? Apart from God, it's not a happy business. It's a sad business. Let me read further, verse 14. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be accounted. We can't change anything. That's what Solomon is saying. So I have gained a lot of knowledge. I pursued things. I pursued my own happiness. I used my own brain to figure out what I'm for, what my life is all about. But after all, it's so sad. Gloomy. I can't change anything. I can control. I mean, I'm not sure if Solomon said it that way. I can control the color of my hair. I can make myself taller than my height, right? I can change my parents. I can change whoever, you know, my situation, my job skills, all those things. What can I do? Almost nothing. What is crooked cannot be made straight. Also, what is lacking can't be counted. Quotation is from Phil Ryken. Phil Ryken, he said, quote, we don't even know what we are missing. The point is that life fails to add up. We can tell something is missing, but we can't figure out what it is. Deep down, we know that we are fudging the figures only. Isn't it true? That's what he's saying. We even don't know what we lack. You know, it's like trying to swim from America thinking that you can reach Korea, the best country in the world, right? You don't know what you need, how much food you need, how many days it will take. You don't know what you lack. You think, okay, maybe I should just do that. That's the picture that we are doing spiritually. We are trying to figure out something, like trying to reach Korea by swimming from America. That's what we are trying to do. No matter how much wisdom you gain, still you can't change your life. Even you try to figure out what is right, what is wrong, the value system, ethics system, right? He says, I apply my heart, verse 17, to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. You know, in our time, a lot of people are saying postmodernism. You know, no one can say what is right, what is wrong. Everyone can decide what is right, what is wrong. There's some element of truth, actually. When I hear that, I kind of, that's what Solomon said. He said, that's meaningless. People try to build up their own value system eventually. Who can say they're right? They're all individualistic. They're all subjective, right? Apart from God, let's remember that. Apart from God, it is just folly, madness, to try to build up our own morality or ethics system, because we know the answer. It is only God who can say it is right, that is wrong, you have to do this, you should not do this. It is only God who can grant value on our behavior, speech, our conduct. There is nothing new under the sun. Again, that's how it ends, right? For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. There's nothing new under the sun. Almost the same thing going on as we studied last week, right? It has been this way. It was not only about 21st century, you know, movie character, you know, Matt Damon, or Good Will Hunting. Solomon did, and I do believe a lot of people have been doing the same thing. But they couldn't reach where they thought they could reach, right? Because they had a small brain. The problem of our small brain. We think we are wise. We think we are smart. We think we can figure out something that we can't figure out. However, let me end this sermon this way. Even though there is nothing new under the sun, but there is everything new under or in the sun, S-O-N. I'm word playing right now. There's nothing new under the sun, S-U-N. But everything's new, beautiful, everlasting, wonderful in the Son, S-O-N. Who is that Son? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, right? The folly. People think that on their own wisdom, on their own knowledge, they can save themselves. But God is saying, basically, they're going to fail in their own folly. But the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Remember this. A lot of people think that what they're doing is wise. And what God is trying to teach us is folly. But in reality, it's the other way around. What God is teaching us is the wisdom of God, designed by God, presented to us. It is in Jesus Christ, the power of God for our salvation. It is true. We can do whatever we want to do apart from God, as long as God allows. But eventually we're going to say, everything's a vexation, everything's a vanity, futile, depressing, sad, evil, bad. But however, when we hear the gospel, Jesus died for you to rescue you from this madness. Does it come across to you as a wise saying? I hope so. It shouldn't come across to you as some another folly. Christ died for you to save you. You don't have to try to figure out your own meaning of life like this, like Solomon did. Christ has already figured out. He lived in our world and He, again, died for us. The one who died for you lives in you. Again, anchor your soul to Him and be thankful to Him that you can understand the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are our God. We're so thankful that we have been enlightened to understand the true meaning of our life. From Your perspective, You have saved us from this folly, mad world to know that we are children of You. This life now is so beautiful. This life is filled with Your amazing grace. We're so thankful that You have opened our eyes to see all those things. So Father, again, give us the wisdom to number the days and give us the wisdom to understand the true meaning of our life daily. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.